Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, my friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
There are many would-be teachers and dispensers of prophecy who tell us that the kingdom of Christ in the earth is yet to be unfolded at a future time. It seems clear enough to us that the Lord has already instituted his kingdom here and now. Only those with eyes to see it can rejoice in its establishment or take delight in the law of it. The Pharisees demanded that the Lord should show them the time when the kingdom of God would come in the earth. He said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." He pointed out that there was no future time when this kingdom would come, but rather it was already in their very midst. They were standing in the midst of it, but could not see it. Those who would be detractors of the general teachings of Christianity sometimes characterize its teachings as being about a pie in the sky by and by. If one listens to the rank and file of those who claim to be teaching the tenets of Christianity in our day, you could probably reach that conclusion honestly. The basic message that one hears today, which purports to be the gospel, is that of a formula derived by God, which man is supposed to fulfill, and thereby gain a place in heaven based on the actions of his free will to choose salvation. In this scheme of things, once a man supplies the necessary will and belief, then he has gained an entrance into heaven and immortal glory. It is rather optional as to whether or not he allows the Lord to bless him in this life by adding a certain level, which he chooses, of faithfulness and obedience to his precepts. Needless to say, such teaching is a farce and has no foundation at all in the Scriptures. Nor can such a message as this be of any comfort or help to the man who has been convinced by the Holy Ghost of his lost condition and worthiness of destruction. Such a man as this is stripped of all confidence in his flesh and knows that he cannot supply anything that would effect his rescue from this awful condition. He can only repeat the words of the publican, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," and that of the father of the demon-possessed child, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." The glorious truth of the gospel and the unfolding of the kingdom of God, which Isaiah wrote about, is that God supplies everything that is necessary for the salvation of his people. This is a feast of fat things with well-refined wine, and is a meal to which the elect are called to partake in the present hour. Though they shall indeed drink more deeply of that wine and suck the marrow from the bones in the ages to come, yet even now that salvation which has been prepared for them is theirs to enjoy, as the Spirit of God comforts them and leads them into all truth. They are not waiting for his kingdom to be established, but are basking in the glory of it even now. This is a feast with four courses, which is totally supplied by the Lord of the feasts. The first course is the fact that before the foundation of the world, God chose a people in Jesus Christ and declared his love upon them. This choice was made without regard to any good or evil done in them and preceded their creation. They were ordained to be the objects of his mercy, and he created the world in which to display the glory of his grace in their redemption. The second course is that Jesus Christ, the eternal and only begotten Son of God, did come into this world born of a woman and made in the likeness of sinful flesh. In that body he bore the sins of his people. He was taken and by cruel hands was slain according to the eternal purpose given to him in that eternal covenant of redemption. On the third day he arose from the dead and became the first fruits of them that sleep in him. He ascended back to the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for them, as they come to God by him. In all of this, he has forever justified his children and delivered them from all condemnation. The third course is that he has sent his Holy Spirit to quicken his children and give them faith to believe the gospel. He then abides with and in his children to lead them into all truth and to minister comfort and peace to them in a fashion that the world cannot comprehend. He works in them both the will and to do of his good pleasure. And even though he is pleased to bring them into great trials from time to time, he is constantly working all things together for their good. They have their greatest delight in him. The fourth and final course is the dessert, the icing on the cake, when Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, takes possession of that church which he purchased with his own blood. Through the ages to come he shall rejoice in his bride, and she shall glorify his name and enjoy him forever. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Do you look for him?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.